Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Here in Luke 24, so go there with me, Luke 24, we're doing a series right now, walking from the resurrection to Pentecost, is what we're looking at. That window of time that, let's just be honest, oftentimes we as Christians, because we get so pumped about Easter, and then we kind of get back to regular life that we kind of just skip over, all right? And so we're going to just kind of dive in and focus on that. So we're going to finish out the book of Luke, and then we're going to pick up in the first two chapters of Acts, all right? So Luke and Acts, both written by Luke, okay? Dr. Luke. So both of those are written by him, and so it's a continuation of the same story from the same author as far as that goes, all right? And so as you get here, Luke 24, when I was a kid, one of my granny's favorite questions when somebody called or dropped by was, well, have you heard any news? that's what she always asked. You know, it's one of her favorite questions. Because in the 1980s and 1990s, when I was alive, when granny was alive, you know, the years that, you know, the two decades that we kind of had together there, the news moved at a slower pace, didn't it? When you think about back in those days, even though she lived into the late 1990s, she died in 1998 is when Granny died. This is my dad's mom, and she lived right next door to me. You know, we were just very close, and I'm not going to say I was her favorite, but my brother's not here, so I was her favorite. No, I'm kidding. She loved us both. We were only two grandkids, and so, but I still remember, you know, she never had cable TV. She never had satellite TV. You know, there was no access to CNN or to Fox News or MSNBC. She simply had that old antenna tower. You know, not the bunny ears, but we had, you know, we were a little more uptown. We had the tower. And at my house, we had the thing where you could push a button on the inside and it would turn it for you. Not at Granny's. That was my job. All right. Ben, go outside, turn the antenna, and I'll holler at you when you're supposed to stop, when the TV channel comes in. It's just funny, some of the things you remember over the years, right? But she just had that simple old antenna tower. Picked up maybe five or six channels. Not a lot. She had the network news, ABC, CBS, NBC. Typically tuned into Channel 13 right here, local, you know, ABC station. That's where she'd watch. And if you watch Channel 13, you've got the morning news, the midday news, the evening news, and then the late news. And she would watch all four of them because she wanted to know the news. That's just the kind of person that she was. But she never had a smartphone, you know, with the news apps and the social media apps and podcasting apps. People say that's where people get their news today. They don't get it on TV as much. They certainly don't get it from newspapers anymore. They get it from online. It's digital news, mainly through their smartphone now. But so she never had that smartphone. She did eventually have a cordless phone, you know, where you could, you know, carry it around with you. She liked to set it on the doorstep in the evenings there in the cool, and she'd take the cordless phone out there. So just in case somebody called, you know, you couldn't miss a call back then. It's like, oh, the phone's ringing, you know. You had to run to it. But I remember there at Granny's house more of the old big black rotary phone, you know. Remember those? That's the one I remember in house and always sat there on the bookcase right there by the rocking chair and recliner there. And so, but she never had that. She never had that smartphone. She never had a computer, much less access to the internet. It's various news. I mean, Al Gore had just invented the internet at that point, all right? And so when she died, and so she never even gave it a try. She had a radio. I don't really remember watching or listening to the radio much. And then, you know, she took the Bowling Green newspaper each day, mainly to dominate the crossword puzzle. She was a whiz, man. She was a whiz at crossword puzzles. People in the family would call her like, Gene, I can't figure it out. And, you know, Granny had the answer, all right? But she would also read it for the news. But the world that she lived in, as I was thinking about news itself, I mean, it was so much different from today's fast-paced news cycle. I mean, it's just here today, gone tomorrow, right? I mean, it used to be you'd have a whole week to kind of think about the news and all that, but no, the next day's coming. The flood is coming the next day, and it's going to erase pretty much everything that happened the day before, it seems like. By the time the paper comes, for instance, to your paper box in the afternoon, it's already old news. You've probably not only heard of the news, you've probably even already read the article, right? Because you probably pulled it up on Facebook and there's the daily news with it right there, boom, you know, as far as it goes. And so it's just one of those things, like it's moving so fast. News stations are now 24/7. Breaking news is happening all the time. I mean, I just got breaking news just a moment ago on my phone there. And everything seems to be nationalized now. Like this is one of my pet peeves about news here as I get into the text here in just a moment. Just hang with me for a minute here. My biggest pet peeve with following WBKO on Facebook, they're always pushing local news stories that aren't local to Bowling Green. Like today. Can I get an amen? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like today, I came across this headline on WBKO's Facebook page. I thought I was going to die. Friends crash into bear on highway at 70 miles per hour. And I see that, I'm like, oh my goodness, there was a bear in Bowling Green that somebody ran over? No, I click on it, it's in Minnesota. Why is WBKO picking up local stories from Minnesota? And the answer is clickbait. That's why they did it. But come on, WBKO, man, focus here. But news is flying in from everywhere. It's news overload. Let's just be honest. News overload, and so much of it is depressing. The old axiom in the news media is that if it bleeds, it leads. And so many of the stories are filled with bad news, tragic news. Well, as we turn here to Luke 24, the first thing that we see in our text tonight is that there is news. There is news. They were grappling with news. All around the region, around Jerusalem there was a buzz on this first Easter morning. As we continue in Luke 24 here, like, we're still talking about Easter Sunday. We're still on Easter Sunday. Last week when we were together in this one, we were still in Easter Sunday. So the first thing you see tonight here in the text is that there is news. If you remember from last week when the resurrected Jesus, when he engaged the two men on the road to Emmaus, the Emmaus Road, they were talking about news, weren't they? News from Jerusalem. Luke 24, 18. They say to Jesus, as he engaged them, like, what are y'all talking about? He engages them and says there, are you the only? They say to him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And then the ironic thing is, right, they didn't recognize him. The Bible says here that the Holy Spirit kept them from recognizing him. And they begin to tell Jesus the news about Jesus. Some prophet named Jesus was crucified here on Friday, but this morning his tomb was found empty and some angels told some people that Jesus is not dead, but alive. And then, like we talked about last time we were together in this text, Jesus then begins to teach them about how the scripture points to Jesus. They still don't know it's him. Eventually, after supper, the Bible says that God allowed them to recognize him. And somehow Jesus disappears from their presence. We don't know if he just poof, or he stood up and acted like he was going to the bathroom and just kept on walking. We're not told exactly how he disappeared, but nevertheless, he was gone. And they ran back to Jerusalem. They were about 7 miles outside of the city. They ran back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples that they had seen Jesus. This is news. Really interesting news. Big news. I mean, there in Jerusalem, this would have been like break into the middle of a soap opera, like the president type news. I mean, it's big news, breaking news. But there were no doubt people that doubted, as you think about the news there. Even though there were multiple witnesses from that early morning tomb experience, multiple witnesses. Even though here we've got two men from the Emmaus Road that evening witnessing to seeing Jesus, they still doubted. For sure Thomas did, right? I mean, we learned that from the Gospel of John. And so these men run back and they're telling, we've seen Jesus. And the 11 there, the disciples, they begin to debate the news that they've just heard and they commentate on the news. But we come into our text here and we see that Jesus shows up and confirms the news. Look at it with me here. Let's go to our text. Luke 24, beginning in the 36th verse. We'll read down through the 43rd here. Luke 24, 36 through 43. As they were talking about these things, Jesus stood among them. Again, don't know if he just had the ability to materialize and immaterialize. I mean, we don't know, but boom, he's there. And he said to them, peace to you. And they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet? That it is myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. So they thought he was a ghost. Right? He was a ghost. I mean, that's what you'd expect from a dead man, right? But Jesus, he basically says, man, y'all cut it out. Cut it out. Check out the nail holes in my hands and my feet. Touch me. I mean, does a ghost have pecs like this? Whatever they touched. They were still so awestruck, though, that they couldn't believe what they were seeing. So Jesus is like, all right, y'all. Y'all got anything to eat? I'm hungry. Y'all got any food? And right there in front of him, he eats fish. And it didn't just fall to the ground like you see in the cartoons or the movies, like the ghost eats and it just all falls to the ground. No, it went into his belly. It was a real live in the person, Jesus. Flesh and blood Jesus. Risen from the dead Jesus. This is news. This is amazing news. He who was dead is now alive. And it's been confirmed. There was news. There is still news, right? This is still news. But not only is there news, second I want you to see tonight, that we also see in the text that this is good news. There is good news, all right? Now, every day you and I, we hear news. Most of it, though, has no relation to us. Most of it, I mean, it doesn't impact us. It has no bearing on our life. It may be good news to somebody. But it's not really good news to us, right? Like, for instance, I just heard, here's your tip, here's your scoop. I just heard that they found a whole slew of my favorite classic car. Pontiac, Firebird, Trans Am. They found 20 of them that this dude was hoarding in the barn. This was just a regular old Joe. He was a postal carrier, right? He loved these cars. He died, and they found him, as part of his estate, and they're going to auction. All right, so if you're looking for a Trans Am, they even got some 79s. You can get one for the right price. All right, but they're coming up to auction out in Kansas City where they found them. All right, and that's news. That is news. And maybe it's good news to somebody, but it's not good news to me because I don't have $1,000, several thousand dollars laying around to go buy one. So it's not really good news to me. It doesn't impact me. In fact, let's just be honest. It makes me a little bit sad because I want one but can't have one, all right? But here's the deal. This news with Jesus, it's not just interesting news. It's truly good news to everybody because it potentially impacts everybody. Look again at the text here, Luke 24, 44 through 47, just walking through the text tonight. Then Jesus said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to him, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. So this is truly good news, really good news. This is way better news than hearing that you're going to be given $100 million. Like that would be good news, right? This is way, way better than that. Yeah, $100 million could make your life, it would certainly impact your life. I don't know if it'd make it better or worse, right? You know how it goes. But it would certainly impact your life. But this news here, that your sins can be forgiven, that you can have life everlasting, like this is news that changes your life now and forever. Like this is news that removes your spiritual guilt before God and gives you righteousness. He doesn't just make you innocent, he makes you righteous as if you always were obedient to God like Jesus was. He gives you his righteousness, takes your sin, throws it away onto himself and pays for it, and then gives you his righteousness. This is news that takes you from being an enemy of God to being a friend of God and a child of God. This is news that gets you out of hell and into heaven. So this is good news. Honestly, the best news. By turning from sin and hating your sin and trusting in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, y'all, you can be forgiven. And I know many in this room, maybe all of us in this room, have experienced this. The wrath of God towards you has been expiated. It's not only been expiated, it's been propitiated. Those are big theological words from Scripture that mean this. God's wrath has not only been redirected from you, but it's been extinguished if you have turned from sin and trusted in Jesus. It's been diverted and extinguished. And not only is the potential of God's wrath towards you being no more, he also brings you close. You who were once far off, he reconciles with you and to you. Now, we probably all have friends who've hurt us, who've sinned against us, did something wrong. And it very well may be that you've never forgiven them. Maybe you're still holding on to that, all right? But most likely, those of you who take the Scripture seriously, you have actually worked to forgive them. Like you don't hold anger over them. You don't want to get vengeance on them. So you've worked past that, okay? But oftentimes, I bet there are friends who are on your list who are actually former friends because they hurt you. And you forgave them. You didn't hold it over them anymore. But you never reconciled to them. You're no longer friends with them. God could have done that. Well, first off, he could have never forgiven us, right? He would have been right and just to give us what we deserve. But God said, I want to be merciful. I want to be loving. And so he forgives us. So that's what he did. But you know what? He also could have said, that's fine. I'll forgive you, but I'll have nothing else to do with you. I will not punish you, but I also will not reconcile with you. And God said, that's not my heart. That's not my desire. I want to be with them. I want to know them. I want to spend eternity with me. And that's what God did. That's what God did in this instance here. He not only forgave you, but he reconciled you. The very creator of your soul, the very lover of your soul, forgave you and reconciled with you. This is good news through Jesus Christ, right? It's not just news, it's good news. But not only is there good news, third, we're going to see here in the text that there is good news to tell the world. Good news to tell the world. Let's continue walking through the text here. Luke 24, verse 46 and 47. Let's look at those again. 46 and 47. Again, and Jesus said to them, thus it's written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Now, this is Luke's version of the Great Commission. We see it there. You know, every gospel has its own version, so to speak, of the Great Commission. The one that we know most, we're most familiar with, is Matthew 28, the Great Commission there. Go and make disciples. Go into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. That's the one that we know. But this is Luke's version here of the Great Commission that we're going to proclaim to all nations in Jesus' name that there is repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Go into all the world, he's saying. Tell them that Jesus lived, died, and rose again, that every person who will repent on Jesus and repent and believe on Jesus, that they'll be saved. Every person who's a follower of Jesus is to do this. We're to be proclaimers. We're to be witnesses. Everybody is to tell somebody about Jesus. And I just want to take a minute here as a group, and I'll give you a second here. Who is one person, when you think about the one person in your life that was the biggest witness to you for Christ? Who is the person who's the biggest witness to you for Christ? Who was that? Anybody want to share their name? Okay, your friend Nancy.
She just
walks through. Yeah, that's awesome.
You can just see.
Yeah, that's great. So we got Nancy. Anybody else have anybody? Your mother-in-law? Yeah. That's awesome. Who else?
My parents.
Yeah. Your parents, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to share? So that's one question. Your dad's mom? Yeah, absolutely. So regardless if you said somebody's name or not, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're that because somebody told you about Jesus. Like, that's just how it works. That's the means by which God has ordained that that people will be saved, right? No one is saved unless they hear the gospel. And God has set it up in such a way that we're the messengers. He could have sent angels. He could write it in the sky. Like the other day, you know, when we were at Panama City Beach, like it was a kind of a stormy day, and we're there at Pier Park and shopping because it was kind of a nasty day, and all of a sudden I look over and I see this plane flying by, and it's got a message that says something along the lines of like, riptides, don't go in the ocean, something like that, a big old sign, okay? I mean, he could have done something like that where it's in the sky where we see this message. But he's commissioned you and me to do it. He desires to use you and me to do it. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, somebody told you about him. I think about the Wolf family in my testimony. I think about my high school football coach. I think about, I can't think of his name now. You guys might remember, was it Ralph? Anyway, there was a Billy Graham crusade. Was it Ralph Bell? Yeah, I think about Ralph Bell, you know, there in 1996, 1997, somewhere in that neighborhood at Diddle Arena, where I got up out of my seat and walked down. I had already trusted Christ at that point. I think at that point, I'm pretty sure I had. So, depends on the timeline, you know, it gets fuzzy. But, I mean, I remember there going down and saying, you know, like, I don't remember, again, if this was before I trusted Christ, I know when I trusted Christ. So if this was before, this was kind of like the precursor, like, all right, I'm really thinking about this. I'm walking down with my buddies. You know, sometimes you just walk with buddies. You know, a lot of people over the years, you know, they didn't really get saved, but they walked the aisle, you know, because somebody else walked, and you said, well, I'll go too. So if I can't remember if it was before or after, but nevertheless, I remember that moment there with my football team. We were there as a football team there at Diddle Arena there. You know, so there are all kinds of people who are part of that story who shared Jesus with you. And now it's your turn, it's my turn to take that message and spread it on. Here's a second question for us to think about. And, need your input here. Where is the farthest place from here that you've told people about Jesus? Now, I'm not asking you this to be a contest, like, oh, well, they went the farthest, so they get the prize. So this is not a contest. We're going to rejoice in every one of them, even if it's, you know, I went to Dyford Road. if it's that close, all right? So who would say the farthest place, perhaps, that they have shared Jesus? Where would you say? The farthest place from here. Okay, South Africa. Where? Okay, Washington, yeah. Where else? Escondido, Mexico. Ensenada. Ensenada. Not ensalada. No. Enchilada, yeah. You're making me hungry, Shannon. Quit it. For me, it's China. So guys, when you think about this just for a moment. Wherever your farthest place is, and listen, if your farthest place is in Kentucky, praise God that you've shared Jesus with somebody, okay? You're meeting the commission. You know, God doesn't send us all to the ends of the earth, right? Our primary mission field is actually where we are, all right? So just think about this for a moment. This is good news for the people on the continent of Asia, on the continent of Europe, on the continent of Australia, on the continent of Africa, on the continent of North America, on the continent of South America, on the continent of Antarctica. I mean, I read the other day that Elon Musk plans to, he believes we'll have 1 million people, I think it was 1 million or it was 100,000, anyway, a bunch of people on Mars by 2050. It's good news on Mars too. Wherever people are, there they'll be. Also read this, and some of y'all may be interested in this. There's a Japanese dude who is a multi-billionaire, and in 2023, he's gonna pay for a flight to the moon, and he's willing to take 8 passengers with him, and he'll pay your way, all right? So if you're interested in going to the moon, look this dude up. I can't remember his name, all right? But there's your shot. But even on the moon, even in outer space, wherever people are, right, this is good news. And just think about this, guys. Think about, I've showed the video before of how the gospel spread over the ages. Think about it. Like, it started, he says right here, you're going to begin in Jerusalem. That's where they were. Beginning in Jerusalem, but not ending in Jerusalem. Right here, Alverton, Kentucky, 6,400 miles from Jerusalem. And it made it here. And if you were to ask, what is the farthest place on planet Earth away from Jerusalem? Any idea what nation that would be? Where? Well, it's pretty far. If you were to look on a globe and put your finger there, and then go on the other side of the globe and put your finger on the other side, the exactly opposite, if you did it exactly right, from what I can understand from research here, French Polynesia is the exact opposite place on planet Earth from Jerusalem. So that means that French Polynesia, which is South Pacific, just find Hawaii and go south into the South Pacific. It's 11,400 miles from Jerusalem. Now here's the cool thing. The population of French Polynesia is about 280,000. About 260,000 of those people on French Polynesia are Christians. That means that the gospel with great impact went the farthest place it could go from Jerusalem. And a church exploded. That to me is beautiful, right? This good news has literally traveled to the uttermost point from Jerusalem with great success. 94% of the people there at French Polynesia are Christians. And so it's traveled around the world, literally around the world. But there's still more people to tell, right? Here in just a little while, as I finish this up, it's the fourth Wednesday of the month. So we're going to pray for the world. We're going to pray for the lost around the world, okay? And you and I know this from statistics. Some have never heard of Jesus. They've never heard of Jesus. It's estimated that 7.75 billion people are alive in the world today, and 3.23 billion of those folks live in unreached people groups with little or no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They gotta hear if they have any hope. What happens to the person who never hears about Jesus? They die and go to hell. People don't go to hell because they reject Jesus. They die and go to hell because they're sinners and who are guilty before a righteous God. And so that means if they don't hear, there's no hope for them. And so we've got to go tell them. Like, we have to. And then we know this to be true as well. Some have heard, but they need to hear it again. How many times did you hear the gospel before receiving it? I mean, we couldn't put a finger on it, you know, exact number, but we would have to say multiple, wouldn't we? Like, I can tell you just from my own story, multiple times where I felt the Holy Spirit drawing me, right? I mean, I heard the gospel way more than I felt the Holy Spirit drawing me, but it was multiple times that I felt that before I ever said yes. And so it takes multiple times, and we've been tasked with telling them. And so that means right here, Bowling Green, Alvaton, Scottsville, Franklin, Glasgow, whatever town you want to name, there are people who need to hear the gospel again. And so we've got to tell them. We've been tasked with telling them. We're to start in our Jerusalem, right? He said, starting in Jerusalem. Well, our Jerusalem is right here. This is our primary mission field. This is a good axiom for life, okay? Wherever you are is your primary mission field. Wherever you are. This is good news. There is good news to tell the world. But finally tonight, not only is there good news to tell the world, but finally we also see in the text that there is good news to tell the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Because let's just get real. Telling somebody about Jesus, for whatever reason, can be one of the most daunting tasks in the world. But God has not left us to ourselves. I know, we freeze up, we get fearful, all of these things. Our flesh fights against us, the devil fights against us, all those things. But God has not left us to ourselves. Let's finish out the text, verse 48 and 49 here, Luke 24. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Guys, we don't go tell the world this good news under our own power. We do it with God's power, all right? So here's the last thing for us tonight. Let's brainstorm for a moment. What difference does the Holy Spirit make in our witnessing for Jesus? What difference does the Holy Spirit make in our evangelism? What would you say? Boldness. Prompts us. He convicts the lost. He gives us the power. He is the power. That's right.
Gives us words to say.
Breaks our hearts and gives us a burden for people. He causes us to keep going. Perseverance, right? Think of that person that you shared Jesus with
For years, I think about my dad. You know, for years. I mean, I became a Christian in 1997. And from that point, you know, in greater and lesser ways, began to share Jesus with my family. And my mom trusted Christ somewhere a year or two probably before 2014. So praise God for that. But she was baptized in 2014, right before we moved here. And then my dad in 2015. So guys, that's almost 20 years there that I witnessed, you know, to my folks before my dad was the last one. I got to baptize my brother in 2003. I got to baptize my mom in 2014. And I got to baptize my dad in 2015, right? And so just over those years, I mean, it really is a really cool story there as far as that goes. But the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to keep on. And there may be that person that's in your life that you think, man, I don't think they're ever going to trust Jesus. I don't think they're ever going to turn from that sin and really trust in Jesus. But God gives you the power and the strength to persevere. I would say correctness. The Holy Spirit, not only does he give us the words to say, but he gives us the right words to say. He gives us discernment, y'all said about. I think also apologetics. Think about this for a moment. When you're trying to witness, like it's kind of like spiritual warfare, isn't it? And so he gives you the ability to say, you know, it's kind of like they swing their sword and you're able to block it or whatever else, right? I mean, it's sort of like that, you know, to be able to defend the faith, to encourage the faith. Conviction for sure. But also think about this, finally. I would say this. What difference does the Holy Spirit make? Well, he brings about conversion. Like, we don't save anybody. Remember, what did he say that you are? You're a witness. You're a witness. You don't save anybody. God saves. We just deliver the mail. All right? The Holy Spirit makes all the difference in the world for our evangelism. So, as you think about tonight, let's go back to that number four there. Hopefully you recognize that we kind of built as we went along, right? First we said, there is news. Then we said, there is good news. Then we said, there is good news to tell the world. And we finished it up tonight by saying, there is good news to tell the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's tonight's big idea. The question is, are we going to go do it? Are we going to go do it? And the other question is this, is there somebody here tonight that needs to receive this news, needs to receive Jesus? You are a sinner in need of a Savior, and your only hope is to turn from your sin and trust in Jesus. You cannot enter into heaven without Jesus. He's your only hope. And if that's you tonight, I would love to introduce him to you, to introduce you to him tonight, to talk with you. I'm happy to do that. Somebody shared with me, and I want to share further with you. You can be forgiven, as it says right here in the text, in the name of Jesus. But here's my final prayer. May we faithfully deliver the best news ever across the street and around the world.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. you need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you, and I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.